You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening with Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, there was a bit of a surge on Wall Street last night. Where did that come from? What was that all about?
Yes, I made a comment on the morning meeting this morning. I started off, I basically said, here's a classic example why you have to be so careful shorting this market, because the Dow Jones in the last couple of hours basically booked its best one-day gain in 3 weeks. Mm. It really was a huge spike up, and I think there was a little bit, I don't know, I'm not even going to bring COVID-19 into it because I think we're all sort of virus fatigued. Mm-hmm. But there was some really positive data out of new home sales that spiked 44%. That was a record spike. But once again, my little asterisk there, coming off a very low base in April. And then, of course, the airline industry, there was some news coming out from U.S. regulators that they were going to basically allow for the certification of Boeing's MAX 737 MAX planes.
Oh, yeah.
So off the back of that, Boeing was up 14% in Southwest 9, and Boeing's a huge component of the Dow. So there was a couple of sort of things that came out, I guess some news flow, topped in the fact that it is, of course, the last day of the quarter, last day of half year, so a bit of window dressing too. So put that all in, bit of blue sky, ignoring the escalating cases in Florida and California, and the market went on a charge.
Yes, it did. So it was a sort of a spurious rally on the back of an aircraft manufacturer that has had an aircraft that has been in lockdown itself for around about a year now because of the fact that it was faulty. And I don't know, if someone said to me, I've got a cheap ticket to Mallorca, but you've got to go on a 737 MAX, I think I'll take the train.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. I just want to sort of pivot back to being quarter to end and all the rest of it in the end, and obviously the extraordinary 3 months that we've come through. I mean, just to give you some numbers and those who want to take a little bit of stock here, the European indexes have risen 12.4% between April and June. That's setting Europe up for the best quarter since 2015. If you look at what's happening in S&P is now in positive territory for June. And, of course, coming closer to home for the JSE, also some nice statistics here. The All Shares now climbed 22% since the start of April, which puts it on record for the strongest quarter, get this, Lindsay, in 2 decades. The last time we had a quarter like this in Johannesburg was 2001. And then emerging market stocks in general are heading for their biggest gains since 2010, up about 17%. But on a benchmark for South Africa, those who want to keep stock, our JSE All Share is number 8 out of the 93 global indexes tracked since Monday's close. So it really has been the most unbelievable 3 months. And if it's felt unbelievable, you're right, the numbers back it up. It's once in a 20-year event that we've had the last 3 months.
You're a font of knowledge. The dollar rand is 17.35. The British pound against the rand is 21.28. And the euro rand is 19.44 with the euro dollar, a dollar strong, 1.12.10, the euro dollar. Last night in the United States of America, the Dow Jones was up 2.33%. The S&P was up 1.5%. The Dow Jones obviously skewed by Boeing, as Nick referenced earlier on. The NASDAQ up 1.2% this morning in the Far East. What have we got here as I scroll down? Tokyo up 1.33%, not bad. Shanghai up 0.8%. Hang Seng up 0.3%. And the Australian All Share Index in Sydney up around about 1.5%. On the commodities markets, the gold price, yeah, it's taking its time. It's taking a bit of a breather. It's 1772, which is unchanged. The platinum price is 813.5, which is also unchanged. Where's palladium, please, Nick?
No, palladium is bouncing back nicely, 1910 at the moment. That's up just shy of a percent, but back above that 1900 level.
Some fiddling on the oil markets. The WTI crude is down 1%. Brent, on the other hand, is down 1.7%. 39.32 for WTI, and Brent crude is 41.71. That's gone very, very quiet as well recently. What's the mood this morning? Because I thought this week would be very interesting, but actually it's not that interesting because the Americans are already looking forward to their weekend off, which is the July the 4th weekend. But whether they can enjoy it or not, I don't know. Certainly they can't in Florida because it's in lockdown again.
Yeah, exactly that. The 4-day week and quite a bit of data sort of squashed into the 4 days, and some quite big data, obviously rounding off on Thursday, which typically is the Friday, which is the non-farm payroll numbers. But I mean, this S&P and this American and markets in general, Lindsay, I guess they remain in a bit of a churning mode. I mean, we were strong yesterday, but overall it feels like we're trying to consolidate some of these massive gains we've seen since those March 23rd lows. And of course, the one side, you've got the easy fiscal and monetary policy. And then the other side, we've got some of these dominant macro themes. But in general, I think it's just a churn. You know, I don't know where the next leg up or down is going to be from here. And we had some numbers out this morning, which we didn't mention, which were the manufacturing PMI for China.
Yes.
That's quite a watched indicator. That came in at 50.9, which was slightly better than the 50.4. So, you know, for me, it's difficult to take a position either way, because you've got the largest economy in the world on the one side in America, which is, you know, because some very worrying escalations and potential lockdowns in some of its key states. I mean, you can't lock down California with knocking half the world. It's a GDP on its own. And then on the other side, you've got something like China, which these numbers are starting to look pretty good. We know they're probably massaged a bit, but nevertheless, they still look a lot better. And hence I think we get these sort of real sort of the volatility swings. And I think that if anything to look forward to next quarter, Lindsay, I think this volatility is going to just be here to stay for a while.
Yeah, that's my theme for the week, the second wave, whether it be the second wave of COVID-19 or whether it be the second wave of volatility. And if that volatility is sort of prompted by the upside or the downside on stock markets, I don't know. But volatility tends to spike when markets are under pressure. Anyway, let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service this morning. 7:28 this morning in Baloo World Limited. Results for the 6 months ended 31st of March. The share price down around about 4% on my screen anyway. Baloo World, do you like that one?
Yeah, they weren't bad. They weren't bad. It's not the full indication once again, because we're looking for the numbers up to yesterday, because while we've been stuck in lockdown. But nevertheless, you know, they did guide recently, and it wasn't far from the latest guidance. Once again, coming out with basic results that are a little bit, I guess, as to be expected, but not mad about them. But I still quite like Baloo World as a whole.
Nothing else on the Stock Exchange News Service this morning?
No, very, very thin. We do have outside of the Stock Exchange News Service, we do have a big data print coming up, which is the South African GDP number, which is due a little bit later on this morning. We are looking for a contraction of 4.5% is the consensus view. But obviously, bearing in mind, this is obviously up. It's only the first quarter. That's before COVID-19 really took hold. But nevertheless, South Africa was showing quite worrying signs of a slowdown before. So if it is worse than a 4.5% drop, and that is only up to the end of March, then I think the next leg is going to be really ugly.
What time does that come out?
That, I think, is, let me see, is it correct in my screens? That is just after 11 o'clock.
What happened with Prosus and Naspers, by the way? You were enthusiastically talking about those numbers coming out. What happened?
Yeah, look, I didn't think they were so bad. I mean, they came out late. Interesting enough, they came out, you were right, they did come out after the close, after 5 o'clock in our time. I didn't think they were actually so bad. I mean, we had to look at Tencent this morning to get an indication of where it was, and Tencent was up 2.8%. They came out with numbers which were a lot better than I think expected, but of course they did guide just a week ago, so it wasn't too far of a deviation from that. Interesting enough, nice big cash pile. They're sitting with a lot of cash. They've got a lot of also sort of lines that they or not necessarily having to tap into if they need to. 120 billion rand of essential war chest they've got. And one of these companies that I think, as we know, are sort of benefiting from people staying at home. Once again, we know Mr. Van Dijk, he's got a huge, I don't know if it's his pet project, but he keeps on pushing this this food delivery business. And in hindsight, that did look like the right thing to do. That's actually sucking up a lot of capex at the moment. But all in all, I think it remains on track. And it's one of those shares that, I think if you've got the shares, you hang on to them. I wouldn't be selling them now.
No, who would? Okay, on the upside today on the JSE, Vivo up 11.7%. The Polish property company, EPP, up 4.8%. DRD Gold up 3.1%. First Round up nearly 3%. Interesting. Process, as we've just been talking about, up 2.75%. On the downside, South 32, nearly 5% weaker. Barlow World down 4.6% after their numbers. Hammerson down 3.5%. Sappi down 2.9%. And Mass down 2% or something. But it just seems to me that people are in limbo at the moment. The market goes down, people buy it. The market goes up, people sell it. It's a strange week. And I think after tweeting earlier on this week that it would be an interesting week, I think actually next week will be the interesting one after the July the 4th holiday.
I do agree with you, Lindsay. And also after obviously quarter end as well, and this massive bounce back. I said it is extraordinary bounce back. So unless they come out with, I don't know, some sort of magic vaccine, which will make this the shortest recession in history. I think it's some real questions that are going to be asked, or some hard questions in the weeks to come going into the second half of this year. When a market which is not cheap at the moment and asset prices which look a little bit elevated, we need to figure out, can the earnings catch up, or, you know, what is going to happen in the second half? And I think you're right. Going into the second half is going to be crucial.
9:39 this morning, Distell came out with a trading update. You haven't had a chance to have a good look at it, but it has come out. What do you make of Distell in general? I mean, obviously it sells booze, and there's been a lot of restrictions on that particular activity.
No, it's quite an interesting one. They should be in the reasonably good spot. They don't deal with beer. It's a spirits, and it's those in South Africa recognize the sort of the Savannah cider brand, Amarula as well, Liqueur. So they operate in a slightly different space to the other guys. They don't do this sort of craft beer and all the rest of it. But
thank God.
Nevertheless, you know, with a lockdown entering 94 days here in South Africa now, and a lack of sort of sporting events and stadiums being open and all the rest of it, they're suffering just like the rest of them. I mean, the stock was 140 odd bucks. It's down at sort of the mid 70s now, so it's halved. And I guess that's in line with some of the other brewers, but still, I think they've got some big challenges, eh? Which is, for a locally run group, it's a little bit, they've got some big mountains to climb.
Interesting little sentence here. Distell has also generated a total of 21 million rand in revenue from the sales of ethanol and sanitizer since the lockdown. So they've changed their production line from whatever they do to sanitizer, so we can wash our hands every day.
Well, it makes sense with the alcohol. I don't know if it's going to generate I'm not going to drink as much sanitizer as I normally drink cider, so there we go.
Exactly. Sure. So anyway, I won't say anything more. Give us the JSE indices after 52 minutes of trading, please.
Okay, after 52 minutes of trading, we're actually quite nicely in the green. We're sort of bucking the trend. We saw a little bit of a sell-off in European indices on the open, but they're also slowly going back to unchanged. I think expect a bit of window dressing for the last day of the quarter. On that note, the South African Top 40 Index up 302 points, or 0.6%. The JSE All Share up a little better, 325 points. Also 0.67% higher. Gold shares are down. Plats are going sideways. Industrials are 0.8% firmer. Technology shares also a little bit better. That's up almost 1.2%. And that is it. Let's see how we get on today.
Yeah, and we'll speak later on with David Shapiro. So it'll be the double-headed dream team for the 5 o'clock shadow this evening. Nick Kunzer is from Sandon Private Wealth. And that was the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.